السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنذر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى through his فضل and his grace has made us enter into the year 2024. We have completed the year 2023 and we have entered the year 2024. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us in the glorious Quran, by means of the glorious Quran, by means of the hadith, that a Muslim does not behave like other people. He does not copy other people. Like we say, he does not go with the flow. A Muslim, he takes lesson from everything. From whatever he sees around him, he takes lesson from it. For example, every day, in the morning, the sun rises. It carries on ascending. It reaches a point. After that, it begins descending. So when a Muslim sees this, it reminds him that my life is going to be the same. This is one day. In one day, the sun ascends and the sun descends. It goes back down. So in the same way, the pattern of my life is the same. I am born, a person is born, and then he ascends, meaning his strength increases, his intellect increases, his abilities increase, and he reaches a certain age. After he reaches a certain age, 30, 40, and then after a certain age, everything starts going downhill. And then eventually, just like the sun, it appears in the morning, thereafter a time comes when the sun has disappeared. So similarly, a time will come when my life will end as well. As the year goes past, the seasons change. When a person is beginning there, then it seems so long. It seems so long. Every year this happens. Every year we will experience this, that at the beginning of the year, when we look and we think about November, December, it seems a very long way away. Even 6 months away. If we look halfway throughout the year, June, July, it seems a very long way away. And then when we get to the end of the year, and we look back, then we think it was a very short amount of time. It passed extremely quickly. So in the same way, a Muslim, he takes a lesson from this. That when I look, whatever age I am, maybe I am in my teens, maybe I am in my 20s, maybe I am later on in life, middle-aged, elderly. But whenever a person looks, then he thinks, I have a long way ahead of me. And the strange thing is that a person who is in his teens, who is in his 20s, he is in his 30s, he thinks like this. But a person who has reached 50, 60, 70, quite often he thinks like this as well. I still have this many years to go ahead of me. But just like when it comes to 1 year, before the year, it seems like a very long time. And when it passes, a person looks back, he realizes it wasn't a very long time, it passed very quickly. In the same way, a person should understand that my life seems like there is a very long way to go in front of me. But it will pass very quickly. It will pass very quickly. Before I know it, it will pass. Right now I am in the vigor of youth, before I know it, it will pass. And now I am middle-aged and I am in my 30s, 40s, I have a family. I am bringing up a family. Before you know it, the white hair, there will be nothing but white hair. From the hadith we learn that one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that time will pass more swiftly. So the 24 hours will still be there. The 60 minutes in the hour will still be there. But time will pass more swiftly. The barakah in time will be taken away. So we who are very close to the Day of Judgment, we should take heed even more so. That number one, whatever, even if Allah, if I was, what is that a person knows that he is going to be given 50 years, 60 years, 70 years? No one knows that. A person could be in the grave the day after. But even if he was to know that I have 10 years, 20 years in front of me, he should tell himself that that 10 years, that 20 years, that 30 years, that 40 years, it will go much more quicker than I think it is going to be. I think it is a long time I will be able to achieve so much. And shaitan uses this to make a person delay. Shaitan has different techniques for different people. So for some people, his focus is, don't let him create a worry of deen within him. So anywhere where there could be a worry of deen, keep him away from that. Keep him away from the masajid, because he will go there, someone might give him some advice of deen. Keep him away from the talks of the ulama, because they might make him feel worried about deen. Keep him away from going in the gatherings of tabligh jamaat and ta'aleem, because some worry of the akhirat might be created in him. Keep him in the company of people whose focus is the world. That is one effort of shaitan. And then when a person fights this effort, and when a person, shaitan realizes that this person, to a certain degree, he is becoming victorious. I cannot stop him from creating the worry. The worry has already been created. The worry that there is a hereafter and I need to work for it. Now shaitan's next ploy is that he has the worry, but stop him from acting upon the worry. How? Make him think that yes, I need to prepare for the hereafter. I need to do this. I have this. I am not performing salah. I need to perform salah. I know that it is something which is extremely important. But I will begin. I am still in my 20s. I am still in my 30s. After I reach my 40s, 50s, 60s, when I have done everything there is to do in the world, when I don't have any more worries in the world, I am well set. Then I will worry about the hereafter. This is called procrastination. Tomorrow, whether it is tomorrow, whether it is next year, whether it is 10 years. Because shaitan knows that the worry goes up and down. Right now the person is feeling very worried about the hereafter. Maybe he has been to a talk. Maybe he has read something. Some dini article. Whatever it is. Maybe something has happened, someone has passed away in the near family. And it's shaken, it has woken him up. So he is worried. But let him make the intention, but delayed intention. Intention to do it later on. Ramadan comes out, and the hafiz realizes that my Quran is all over the place. And if Allah's topic with him, he realizes he gets the worry. And he thinks, I will start reciting in Ramadan. And then thereafter, after Ramadan, I will carry on. And then after Ramadan, what happens? Shaitan makes him think that after Ramadan, you need a break. So give it 1-2 weeks and then you will start. Shaitan knows that by the time 1-2 weeks have passed, then the worry to do that will have gone. This is a classic tactic of shaitan. That when a person has the zeal to do something, when the iron is hot, then shaitan stops you from using it by telling you that do it later.
And then before you know it, later passes and a person is not doing it, and he realizes a long time later that nothing happened. So like this, shaitan destroys so many of our intentions. And part of this is that shaitan always makes us think we have a long time. If a person knows that he has a short time to do something, he has a driving test, a theory test, a practical test, or any other exam, and he knows it is within 2 weeks. Maybe the first week he may delay thinking, I still have another week. Last few days will come, he will realize that now I have to prepare. Because time is limited and time is fixed. So when a person knows that he has a fixed amount of time, and it is short, and he realizes that there is consequences afterwards, then he always, the worry makes him do something. So what does shaitan do? Shaitan always makes us feel that I have a long time left. My beloved teacher and Shaykh Hazim Allah Salim Durat Sahib Hafidhullah, he mentioned that once he met someone who was somewhat elderly, towards the second half of his life, you can say. And he was a businessman. So Hazrat gave him some words of dini advice. So he said to Hazrat that it's my intention that soon I am going to leave everything and I'm going to focus upon deen. But there is just this one business venture which I need to finish off. And the plan is that this business venture, if it is successful, then it will be enough for me to live on for the rest of my life. And after that, nothing but to worry about the hereafter. We were to hear this, we were thinking a very blessed thought. That he wants to leave this everything. People of intelligence and people of dini understanding realize it's a trick of shaitan. It's a ploy to make him delay. Hazrat says that I met him a few years later. After that venture was done and dusted, whether it is successful or not, whatever. So I gave him some dini advice again, probably Hazrat reminded him as well. So he said, one more plan. Just this one plan and then... Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو أن لابن آدم واديا من ذهب لا أحب أن يكون له واديا. If the human, a man, he has a valley full of gold, then he will sit content feeling that Alhamdulillah, I have a lot. And if he is someone who has some religious worry, he will think about the hereafter. No. Sooner or later, la ahabba yakuna lahu wadiyan. He will wish that I want a second wali. And if he has a second wali, labtagha thalith, he will look for a third one. This is the nature of this world. The pull towards this world doesn't end. There doesn't come a point where a person feels, I've had everything of this world. It holds no more attraction to me. I've done everything, now I can focus for the hereafter. If a person has this, thinks that I'm going to do everything there is, then he will never end up preparing for the hereafter. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if he has a valley full of gold, he can do everything he wants for his entire life, he will still not be able to finish it. Meaning there is no benefit to gain in any more wealth. But still, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that he would desire a second. And if he has a second, he would desire a third. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the example of wealth. Apply it to anything of this dunya. Whether it is something pleasurable. Person tastes that pleasure. And maybe for a short amount of time, he will feel satisfied that I fulfilled my desire. After a certain amount of time, the desire will come, it will increase. I want something else. And like this, the cycle keeps going. The ulama, the experts of the nafs and one's desires, they have said that the nafs is made in such a manner that if you don't give it a boundary, meaning you don't say enough is enough, this is the boundary. You have that, for example, when it comes to wealth, enough. You are gaining, you are earning enough. Oh, through halal means you are earning enough. Now don't worry about earning anymore. Just remain at this, and whatever extra time you have, now spend it in other beneficial activities. Say with fulfillments of one carnal desires. If a person doesn't give himself a boundary, he has no boundary, then his nafs, it always takes him one step further. The nafs, the one's desires do not have the ability to stay within a boundary. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah, he has stated in one of his lectures, and this was some years ago, he said in one of his lectures that he had read in a newspaper that in the USA, one rape takes place approximately every minute. Hazrat Mufti Sahib mentioned this in one of his lectures. And after mentioning this, Hazrat Mufti Sahib posed a question. He said that if you think about it logically, rape, forcibly fulfilling your desire with someone, this forcibly fulfilling one's desires with someone, logically we would think this happens when a person, he doesn't have someone to voluntarily fulfill his desires with. But every person knows, every person understands that if I carry out this vile act, then if I get caught, then it will be very dangerous. I will have to spend a long time in jail. I will be disgraced. I will be humiliated. Every person understands that. So it's only possible a person would carry out this act if he had no options to voluntarily fulfill his desires. The Hazrat Mufti Sahib said that in the country we live in, Pakistan, Hazrat Mufti Sahib lives in Pakistan, he said that there are not so many avenues. If a person is not married, then because it is an Islamic country to a certain degree, then there are not so many avenues for a person to fulfill his desires if a person is not married. But in the USA, in America, there are 10 different avenues for a person to fulfill his desires voluntarily. There is no person who will not be able to find an avenue to fulfill his desires voluntarily. So why is it that this vile act of forcibly fulfilling one's desires with someone is so common in the USA? It shouldn't be common at all. Every person can fulfill his desires there. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib, he says that the real reason for this is because the nafs and the desires, they are always looking for new pastures. So a person who doesn't give his desires any boundaries, he will fulfill his desires with one woman. He will fulfill his desires with someone else. A time will come when his nafs will become bored of the fulfillment of desires voluntarily with someone, and the nafs will desire something new. And sometimes it may be that now the nafs wants to taste forcibly fulfilling his desires with someone. Meaning the nafs and one's desires, they never stop. What a person feels, if I fulfill my desires with that person, or if I fulfill my desires in that manner, then that will be a very great fulfillment of one's desires. I will enjoy myself so much and then I will feel satisfied. The nafs never ever feels satisfied. That is the nature of the nafs. That is why our deen gives the nafs a boundary. That, for example, when it comes to carnal desires, you can fulfill your desires, but through this one avenue, which is marriage. And you need to get married, okay. If your desires are so much that getting married once isn't enough, okay, you can get married this many times, but this is the boundary. Because if deen wasn't to make a boundary for our nafs would have no boundary. When it comes to wealth as well, this is the boundary. That these are the halal, permissible methods. Use them whilst you are earning wealth. Keep in mind your other deenly responsibilities. That is the boundary. Don't go beyond that boundary. And these boundaries, we have understood from this, which our Sharia has said, are a huge blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if a person doesn't place boundaries on his desires and his nafs, then his nafs and his desires has no bounds. And then a person behaves like an animal. So, we were saying that we have entered the new year, and a Muslim, he is not like everyone else. Other people, they reach a birthday, they reach an anniversary, they reach the end of the year, let's celebrate. But Deen teaches a Muslim to be intellectual, understanding, to think what he is doing. 1 year has passed. I am celebrating that 20 years have passed since my birthday. 10 years has passed since my marriage. Deen teaches us that when time passes, then there's a time passing. What? Why are you celebrating by the? Because time has passed. Time has passed. That means you are getting closer to the hereafter. Time has passed is not something to randomly. It means you are getting closer to the hereafter. I was 20 last year, December. Now this year, December, I am 21. That means I have one less year left to prepare for the hereafter. How many years I have left? I don't know. It could be 5 years. It could be I had 6 years, now I had five. It could be I had 11 years, now I have 10. It could be I had 1.5 years, now I have half a year. So Deen teaches us that when the passing of time happens, a new year begins, then a person, he takes stock of himself. That I'm getting closer to my grave. I don't know how close I am, but I know I am getting closer. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah has mentioned this statement of his, that irtahalati dunya mudbira wartahalati al-akhira muqbila. The world is going away from us with its back turned, and the akhirah is coming towards us, looking at us. Every moment in this world, this is happening. And at no time is it more obvious than when a year finishes and a new year starts. Then a person becomes aware that now we are in 2024. Now we are in the Islamic New Year. Now my birthday has passed and now I am 25 instead of 24. This is the time when a person is most aware of the passing of time. So what should a person do? A person should take stock of himself. The time has passed. So I have less time to prepare for my destination. I have less time to build whatever I want to build in the hereafter. In the time of the Tabi'een, we are talking about the era of the Tabi'een, and someone came as far as to Makkah Mukarramah, maybe it was Medina Munawwara. Person, a stranger, a Muslim, he came and he asked that, is there anyone here who has seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now, it was the time of the Tabi'een and Sahaba radiallahu anhu in general had passed away. So he was informed that no, there is no one who has seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remaining here. They've all moved on. So he said, is there anyone who has seen someone who has seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Tabi'i? So he was directed to so and so person. There was still some Tabi'een around. So he was directed to. So he said, I have a question for you. I was looking for someone knowledgeable, so I have a question for you. That is why I have come here. The person said, go on. He said that, I read about the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, I hear the stories, and the people of the past, the Sahaba, the Tabi'in who have passed away. And from their lives and their incidents, I understand that they didn't have any fear of death. They weren't worried about dying. But when I look at my life, and when I look at the people around me, then we are all worried about dying. We don't want to leave this world. So why is it that they didn't have this worry and we have this worry? Why is it that they didn't have this worry, that they had this feeling, we don't want to leave this world? They had this feeling, we want to go to the hereafter. So the person, the Tabi, he gave a very beautiful answer. He said that the difference is that they built something over there. They didn't worry about building a lot in this world. Yes, they fulfilled the necessities, but they, other than that, they didn't worry about building a lot in this world. They worried about building a lot in the hereafter. And if a person doesn't have a lot in one place, and he has a lot in another place, he is moving from here to another country, and he doesn't have much here. He doesn't own his own house, but there he has already made arrangements. He has a house ready. And some people, they get married in another country. He has a family ready there as well. He will not feel like staying here. He will feel like going over there. So the person said, the people of the past, they didn't build much here. They built a lot there. So they were going somewhere where everything was ready. So they felt like going there. And our situation is the opposite. We have built a lot here and in this dunya, and our akhirah is completely barren. So we know we are going somewhere where there is nothing for us, so we don't feel like going there. So we have an aim and objective, which is to build something in the hereafter. So when time passes, a person should think to himself that I have less time to build whatever I need to build in the hereafter. I don't know how much time I have, but I know that I have less time now. I have one less year compared to last year. So let me take stock of myself. How much of that house has been built in the hereafter? Is it ready for that? If I was to leave today, which is possible, if I was to leave tomorrow, which is possible, then it is ready. If a person takes stock of himself, then the first thing he will realize is where he is. And when he realizes this, then inshallah he will get the tawfiq to make targets, to tell himself that okay, this year of 2024 will not be like 2023. 2023, when I look back, the condition of my salah was the same. I was lax with my salah. I was only performing 2 salah a day. I was only performing 3 salah a day. Or maybe I was performing my salah but not in the masjid. And when I look at the end of the year, it is the same. 2024 will not be the same. 2024, I will bring this and I will improve this. So let us use this new year, each one of us, as a time to take stock of ourselves. We'll end with this example which I've heard from my teacher and Shaykh Azim Allah Salim himself, Hafidhullah, time and time again. A person who has a business, a merchant, a person who has a shop, he checks, takes stock of his business, checks the accounts, checks the incomings, the outgoings, the costs, the turnover, time and time again. At the end of every month, if not, then definitely at the end of every year. And during the year, there are a lot of sales. Yeah? Then he doesn't feel happy thinking I've made a lot of money. No, he knows to himself that I need to go back. When I check the accounts and then I look at the costs, and I look at the money coming in, then I will realize, am I making money or am I losing? So time passes and Allah Ta'ala gives a person the tawfiq to do some amal. Then a person should not automatically think, oh, I'm preparing, I'm doing amal. No. A person should think that amal, that is money coming in. But disobedience of Allah, that is money going out. That is destruction to the preparation. So I need to take stock of both. And then when I take stock of both, then I will realize, where am I? On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not just look at, oh, you did this many good deeds, go and go to Jannah. No, both the good deeds and the evil deeds will be looked at. They will both be weighed. So when a person takes stock of himself, he needs to check both. And he needs to make both targets, that the good deeds must increase and the evil deeds must decrease. Inshallah, if we do this, then we will be able to say 1 year later that yes, this was a year of celebration for me. The real happiness is dini happiness. And if a person spends a year well, and at the end of the year, he is celebrating and someone asks him why, so he is saying, because I looked back at the year and my dini condition improved, then we can say, yes, this person has something to celebrate about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to make this self-improvement, self-assessment, self-checking part and parcel of our life until we reach our grave. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka.
I'll just choose this. I was away in the holidays, so you probably didn't see me. Some one two people actually asked for that. They came for that. In holidays, more people actually.
I actually did.
Some people are more busy in the holidays, some people are more busy. So one, two, five, five. after the I was out of the into the super. So I was a some of the home time the program takes this regular. Straight from work here. Must be tired. You can't say the full program for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. If you walk and go in the middle of the program, I don't feel offended. I think that is how much you are able to. You people might have realized this, but our Masjid in Ashallam is quite quiet. There's not a lot of noise. And I don't really notice it. I feel most of my Masjid because I have Imam Masjid. I'm not going to say which Masjid. Oh, quite Jamian Masjid. But very well-known local Masjid. I went there. And in our Masjid, even between Asr and Maghrib, when there is a short amount of time, and especially on the weekend, when quite a few people stayed on there. But it's not that you would hear straight down after, so you hear a lot of noise. People get in the Dhamma. I went to another Muslim masjid, and Asr finished. And I thought to myself, after Asr and Maghrib, short time, so I'll sit here and do some Amal. After Asr, there's so much noise in the masjid, I didn't feel like saying that. See, there's talking going on everywhere. Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, Alhamdulillah, our Muslims are very well behaved. They deserve an award.
It depends sometimes. And I'm at the park, sometimes we end up talking with
it. So, yeah, sometimes I do need to give someone the eye. But by and large, Alhamdulillah, most people are well behaved in our Masjid. It's quite, you feel like staying here.
Yeah.
You feel like doing Amal. And people in our Masjid, I've noticed this as well, that if I tell someone that, keep the noise, and the majority of people, they don't get offended. No, I was in debt for him. I don't know if you know, at the moment, until then, it's done.
So, how much of noise comes? At the moment, our masjid is a